We've assembled the round table. Jim Donovan from the Browns Radio Network, Doug Deacon, his partner in the announcer's booth, and Tom Withers from the Associated Press. Well, guys, this was an interesting, if nothing else, way to lose a game. And I know that's kind of, unfortunately, what we've been doing here for these last 5 weeks is talking about how games have been lost. But this one was the strangest, I think, Jimmy, in how things were falling apart in those final few minutes of the first half, and then that just blew things up for the rest of the game.
It really was. I thought an incredibly great start for them. Everything that you'd possibly want, whether it's the defending Super Bowl champions or any other team in the NFL, but to go into their place, get a turnover right away on the first offensive play that the other team runs in the game, get a fumble recovery, two plays later you're in, hit a bomb with to Josh Gordon from Brandon Whedon. I mean, we are living right at 14-0, and you're right, in that final 3:45 of the first half, it really got away from them. It was incredible how it got away from them so quickly.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about getting a fast start. We got the fast start.
Yeah.
But, you know, then we ended up with the 27 unanswered points. And, you know, you look at the turnover factor, they get 21 points off of turnovers. We get 7. It's a 14-point game. There's your difference.
And, Tom, all along we've talked about this team playing from a hole and chasing points. So that doesn't happen yesterday. You would think the mindset would have changed. Is it about not being capable of handling success?
It's about not converting on third and one and not executing on that play. And then it's about fumbling on the next kickoff and not taking care of the ball and do the little things that good teams do when they do have a lead and they need to manage a game. It was kind of interesting, Vic. I thought that, you know, Eli being down 14-0 actually allowed him to throw his way back into the game and develop a little bit of a rhythm. And I think that's when you saw those giant seams open up in that running game because, yeah. I mean, it seemed like they could have done whatever they wanted to do.
But, you know, even when the Giants got back in, and you're right, he threw them right back into the ball game. There's no question about it. But even when they got back in, the Browns started to match them for scores and for drives. And yeah. We're well on their way to doing that on that critical third down and one play. I mean, they're at the 25-yard line. If that doesn't happen, they don't get the first down. I mean, it's automatic with Dawson. So right. they were matching them, and I thought that was encouraging too. Yeah. But then, poof, it all went up.
Yeah, it did. And the other part of this is the defense. When we look at it from the standpoint of stopping the run or not stopping the run, that had been something I guess we were concerned about. You had to be concerned about even going back to last year. But yesterday, maybe because of the nature of it, the way the passing game opened things up, Doug, it did seem as if, and then as injuries started to accumulate in that defensive front, that there just was no way this team was going to be able to slow down Ahmad Bradshaw in that running game.
And I think, you know, after the first play fumble, he was had a little more intensity to his game. But you take that back to the other side, I think, you know, we're at a point where we need to get first downs on offense. We need to keep the defense off the field more than we do. And I think, you know, we were doubled up in first downs yesterday, 30-15.
Yeah.
And there's a couple, you know, opportunities we had, and, you know, where it was third and one where we needed to get it just to control the ball and keep it out of Eli's hands.
I hate to think that you want to start managing a game when you're up 17-7 in the first half, but that's kind of how I felt. Mm. Like, you know, maybe they should run some plays that are, like Doug says, you know, keep possession of the ball, you know, keep Eli off the field. And I know you can't think that way so early in a ball game. You still want to be aggressive and attacking.
I wonder about the psyche of Brandon Whedon after we talked about that third and one interception and how much that led to. It's one thing for a quarterback to carry the burden of the pick, but then he also has to think, gee, that play led to so many bad things that followed. That is he, as a rookie, Is he going to handle that okay?
Well, I think it's just getting to the point, and he's learning a lesson, and they all do it. I mean, you know, and again, you have to wipe out his age, and you got to look at him. He's a rookie quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah.
Eli did it when he was a rookie. He did it for a few years, Vic,
right.
when he was with the Giants. They do it, and the windows are much tighter here in the NFL than they were in the Big 12 or any other conference that you play in college football. So I think it was different than the Thursday night game when he threw the pick on and Kerry Williams took it back. I thought he threw pretty well after that and threw himself back into the game. But I thought that it got a little tighter. The windows got smaller, and he was still trying to make big plays. He was trying to get 14 points rather than 3 points on a throw.
Well, yeah, in first downs. I mean, and it goes, you're talking about Eli. You go back the year before the Super Bowl, he led the league in interceptions.
Sure.
He threw the most picks. So, you know, it's one of those where, you know, I think he found a new toy on Sunday in Josh Gordon. I mean, he's got a new weapon all of a sudden. He's, you know, and Gordon was his main target, it seemed like, throughout the day. Little kind of faded, but Little, by the same token, did a great job in the run game and blocking.
As
I mean, he has some great crackbacks. So, you know, now you got to get everybody on the same page and, you know, everybody contributing.
I like the toy he's found also in Jordan Norwood. I mean, for the first 3 weeks, I was wondering why that kid wasn't active on Sundays. I mean, he ended last year as, you know, arguably maybe the most valuable receiver they had down the stretch. So it was good to see him out there. And you can see there's that comfort zone with Brandon thrown underneath with him.
No question. It's the Roundtable. Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon, Tom Withers, yours truly, Vic Carucci, as we talk about yesterday's loss to the Giants. Guys, Doug, you bring up Josh Gordon, and this we had heard all along, again, about the great practices, and there was a sense, clearly, within this coaching staff that some kind of corner was turning by this guy. And so now that we see the actual result, and he's on those two big scoring plays and on that bomb, that 62-yard play, it just looks so natural, and you just got a feeling you could be seeing much more of that. I know we thought we'd see a lot more of those types of connections yesterday, but going forward, Jimmy, I think there is something there.
Well, I think that maybe going into next year, you can get very detailed with him, and you can maybe make his routes crisper and more detailed. But I don't think we're there. I think we're a long way from that. So I think you got to go with what he is. He's long, and he flows very well. And I think yesterday, I mean, you know, that they told him, hey, go long. And he went long. I mean, I think it's as simple as that. Yeah. I don't think that they said, hey, go down and do this and turn in and then turn back out. I think that's just a little bit too much for him right now, considering where he's at. So I think that you just got to let him be what he is for now. Mm. You know, maybe next year he runs tighter routes or things.
And you have a quarterback who gains confidence in a player when he does that. In the meantime, and you mentioned Greg Little, Doug, was a contributor, but not that much as a receiver. Is this, do you think there's any eye-opening aspect of it for him to see, okay, there's Josh Gordon making those plays, there's Jordan Norwood making those plays, and I'm not seeing the ball?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously a quarterback gets some confidence in a receiver, and, you know, he's going to use that receiver. But I think the Gordon home run of 62 yards is also going to help, you know, the Browns underneath now. All of a sudden, teams have to respect the deep ball because, they've seen it on film. So if that's the case, now we have the underneath game, but we still have to catch it in the underneath game. And Norwood is, you know, added the last couple of weeks a lot to the offense.
Definitely.
You know, we've talked about this Greg Little enigma for the last couple of weeks. And, you know, short of putting him on special teams or benching him, what's a better way to get a message across than we're not going to throw you the ball? So maybe, you know, with the emergence of Gordon yesterday, with the way Norwood played, you know, maybe this is a message to Greg Little.
A lot of discussion on the usage of Trent Richardson and whether he's getting enough carries or touches. 17 rushing attempts is decent. It's not what the ideal would be for a great running back, but I think in averaging 4.8 yards per carry. But I think the game is going to dictate a lot of that in as far as what the lead is, what the circumstances are in the second half. The other part is he's targeted 7 times, catches 5 passes, so 22 touches overall, and nice yardage production from all of that. I think he's being used enough, but the issue comes up over third down. But I think there's reasons with his youth and inexperience that Chris Obanaya is out there instead in some situations as the better blocker and as the guy who is, if he's not as equal as a receiver, he's pretty darn close. He gets a 38-yard reception. It was a nice one yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, well, no discredit on Obanaya at all. I mean, I think Obanaya does a good job. I really do, and I think he's a workmanlike player. I mean, I would love to see Richardson on the field. I think a lot of other people would like to see Richardson on the field. I think the Giants like seeing Richardson off the field yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think when they like that, I mean, there might be a problem there. I just think he's a very special player. And I know he made a bad read on that third down where he went back a couple of yards, where they were loaded on the right side, and he tried to go the back side.
What are you saying? But do you just take all that comes with it, even if he's not ready to pick up a certain blitz that then could lead to the hit that leads to all kinds of bad things with Brandon Weed.
Well, I mean, I don't think I would have thrown on that play. I mean, I don't think there would have been any mystery to
me. Why, in general?
Oh, well, in general, no. I mean, I'll buy the fact, no, if he's not picking up blitzes, that, you know, yeah, I do believe Obanaya is better, although I've seen him stick himself in there and block very, very well. So I understand that. But I think on that particular play that everyone around town is talking about, no, I would have liked him in there.
Okay.
And he was in for 84% of the plays, which is a lot for a running back. And I think of the 13 times they're down in the red zone, he was in there on 10 of those plays, as Pat was pointing out. So, I mean, you got to pick and choose your places. And I'd actually like to see Obanaya and Richardson together in the backfield because, you know, Obanaya's not afraid to come up and block anybody. He might have not have the bulk, but, I mean, the kid sticks his nose in there.
And let's be smart about this for a second. Richardson is 5 games into his career. He had surgery less than 2 months ago. We always talk about, you know, the shelf life of a running back in the NFL. You know, there's got to be some preservation going on here as well. As much as I'd like to see him out there more, carrying the ball more, yes. But, you know, maybe there's some other issues here that you want to think about.
Well, in the first 3rd and 1 where he tried to cut it to the back door, if you watch the Eagles against the Giants the week before, that's where McCoy was getting all his yards. So all of a sudden you sit there and say, you know, he got 120 yards in the second half. So, you know, okay, that's where maybe the hole is. Well, it wasn't there. He had to follow your blocks. But then you get to the 2nd, 3rd and 1, and then you throw the ball, and you let Eli back on the field.
But he's a very rare back now. Let me just say this, okay? Because I understand everybody wants him to be here 25 years, but he's not going to be here 25 years, okay? So I say use him as much as you can right now. All right, but I don't see the Giants back up playing a lot of running backs, and I saw them back up on him yesterday because he sets his runs up and he's quick on a dime and he cuts, and I think they were worried that he could cut on them and make big plays. That's, you know, hey, we don't have many playmakers like that.
Even on short carries, he's dragging defenders with him.
Absolutely,
consistently. They got the running game on the perimeter. You know, they had a couple tosses where they got the ball outside where, you know, he's really going to be exciting to watch.
Yeah, and let's talk a little defense here. There was little of it, obviously, in terms of Ahmad Bradshaw, 200 yards, Eli Manning, 3 touchdown passes. But you get a lift with Joe Hayden's return now from the suspension, so that's huge going into the Cincinnati game. At the same time, some other injury questions crop up, but I think the addition of Hayden could offset some of those other issues injury-wise.
Yeah, let me throw this out to you. And Tom, you may want to call the AP and hold this right now because this could be big. But I know a lot of teams, when they lose a quarterback, you know, they suffer. But for the 4 games that this team lost Hayden, I thought they really suffered. And that's a cornerback. I mean, for what they needed and for what he can do, I thought that really – I think he will help automatically, Vic, and there'll be a great jolt there.
There was a big trickle-down effect, wasn't there?
Absolutely.
I mean, across the board, it impacted everybody.
Well, you're putting your thumbs in a dike here and here, and all of a sudden there's one less hole when you got Joe Hayden there to stick a thumb in.
Yeah. Right.
But let's not forget, I could argue pretty strongly that he's their best player on defense.
Yeah, I think that's a fair argument, absolutely. Guys, great stuff. Again, Jim Donovan and Doug Deacon and Tom Withers. It's the Roundtable. Much more is coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.